So that's God's concept of perfect, to be able to not be provoked by the enemy no matter what, to be able to rise above it by God's grace, to not let evil in your heart, to not think evil, to not return evil. Is this helping anybody? I think it's just giving me more and more compassion, saying, oh, Lord. Okay, go to Galatians 3:3. This is so powerful to help you get free from perfectionism. Oh, foolish, put your name there, who bewitched you not to obey the truth, to whom before your eyes Jesus Christ was written, afore among you crucified. This only I desire to learn from you. Okay, we're asking you this. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun your walk with God in the Spirit, do you now perfect yourself in the flesh? Do you suffer so much vainly, if indeed it also was vainly? Then he supplying the Spirit to you and working works of power in you, is it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? And I just want you to see this. How ridiculous to actually think we were perfect before we knew Christ. There is no perfection outside of the Holy Spirit. And he's saying here, do you really think you can perfect yourself in the flesh? He's basically saying, this is ridiculous. You have to have the Holy Spirit to come to any place of perfection. That in and of by itself ought to be a light bulb for people who their whole life tried to keep everything together by doing everything right, who brought on the lie of the enemy. See, when you have a spirit of perfection, you actually have a counterfeit of what God is supposed to be in your life. See, God is going to show you, you know, what to submit to. God's going to show you what to get rid of. God's going to lead you. He's going to help you. He's going to show you things. He's the helper. He's the comforter. He's going to do all these things. But the counterfeit is a taskmaster. It is a devil that gets in using condemnation and also makes you feel superior and makes you feel like you actually can be okay without God. You actually can have a life of value without God. And if you use your brain and use your gifts and use your skill and use the things that you have, because you're just all that, you can really not only make life good for you and protect yourself and make sure you're not rejected or criticized. My goodness, you can do that for everybody. And everything would be okay if everybody would just listen to you and do it your way and realize how smart you are and how talented you are and how gifted you are and how this is so much about doing things your way. And if nobody would mess that up, things would be okay. When the Bible says you cannot even begin to be perfected until God comes into your heart. The whole concept of being superior, the whole concept of using your works, what you do and how you do it and telling everybody else what to do, that whole concept is demonic. It all takes the place of the Holy Spirit. And what he's saying in Galatians is, look, how ridiculous is it to think now that you can add this back into how you handle things? He's basically saying here, see, they understood this in the early church. It was all God or all you. It was not some God and some of you. And what he's saying to Galatians, what is wrong with you? You're a bunch of fools. How could you be so foolish to start out with a completely surrendered life to God and realizing you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, and now try once again with your works, your actions, your own thinking to make anything real happen? And what an insult that is to the cross. So I want you to really understand, I want people to hate perfectionism tonight. I want you to hate. Even that thing they teach in the church, and I know the real church is not divided by, I'm just saying there's different doctrines that people grab onto to try to meet needs. The spirit of excellence. How many have heard that? Like you're supposed to dress a certain way, walk a certain way, talk a certain way. If you do all the outward things, then somehow what? You what? You're perfected. You at least can fake it good, right? It's like trying to run away from stereotypes that aren't in the kingdom anyway. It's trying to do what society says is good and what successful people say is good instead of loving who you are and letting Christ use you just like you are, just with your gifts, your talents, who you are, what you look like. If there's nothing wrong with the Holy Spirit, you know, healing any low self-esteem, so to speak, although the word's not in the Bible. Here's what it is. God wants to take the valleys, the hurt people, the wounded people, the people that the enemy has pushed down and oppressed their whole lives, and they're in every gender and race. And he wants to take them. The Holy Spirit wants to take you and lift you up. At the same time, the same Holy Spirit wants to take the high-minded, prideful, don't we have it all together, who needs God with all that we have, and bring them down. The valleys come up, the mountains go down. We all end up at the feet of Christ. Now, the cool thing is, once somebody who's been a valley realizes that's all a lie anyway, and their deliverer has come, and the only people who truly aren't valleys are those who found Jesus Christ, and that we're the new creation in Christ Jesus, and we realize that God is our Father, it doesn't get any better than that. So maybe that, along with being married to Jesus. Boy, if you saw my family, I'm married to the Son of God, and my daddy is God the Father. And the Holy Spirit's my best friend and hangs out with me all the time. Now, excuse me, I'm supposed to feel bad about myself. That's who you are when you get saved. And that ought to be enough for all of us, no matter what our background, no matter what society says, no matter what the devil says, who cares what he says, I don't believe him anymore. But then, when we're built up, then we're called to lay it down. See, the problem with valleys is they get saved, but they don't think they have any worth. So what are they given to God? Something that they don't think is worth anything, and they think it's his fault. That's bitterness. What God wants you to know is, hey, you are wonderfully made. You are awesome. I've given you gifts. You're made in my image and my likeness. Now, ooh, yay, woo-hoo. Now die and let me live in you. Give that up. Give that up and become a servant to everybody. Wait a minute now. I just got set free to like myself. Oh, you'll love yourself. But now that you know who you are in me, you don't have to worry about yourself. I'll take care of that. You just love me. And you and I will be one. And you'll just enter the rest. And it's just an awesome, awesome thing in God. But so, right now we're valleys or mountains. And we're all, you know, you're the mountain if you're able to minister and make people codependent on you, and you're the valley if you're down here thinking somebody had better rescue you. And God says, this isn't it. This isn't it, you guys. This is not it. It's about being complete in Christ, no matter what your background, no matter what your gender, no matter what your color. It's about being in the kingdom of God. You know what? Everybody get all upset about the world. I read the book. It's going to get really rotten and stinky before it's over. Like, really, I can't find anything good. Jesus says, whoa, to you. It's going to be trouble. He's even saying to some of you, it'd be better if you never even had children in that day. It's going to be so horrible. That's what Jesus says. I think he knows what he's talking about. But he says, when all this happens, don't pretend it's not happening. Don't think you can pray it away. I'm not saying, just pray. The Holy Spirit leads you to pray. He knows what the timing and seasons are. I'm not saying he's not trying to pre-do things ahead of time. But what I am saying is, he says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hey, you know what? When all this happens, you better get everything from me. Because it's going to be really bad for the people who don't know me. So all you do is, Lord, let me just be a light. Let me just be salt until they either kill me, you take me out of here, or whatever. But I'm not hiding you under a bushel. You just got to get into God and get into God and believe him and know that he's going to take you into all those places. We're going to get ready to stop. My goodness, I didn't even get started hardly. Do you want me to give you some scriptures to go home and look over? And then how about next week, if you get in the, if not, not if you're in the classes, but some of the other groups, you may want to go over some of these. All right, Matthew 19, 21, Romans 12, 2, 1 Corinthians 2, 6, 2 Corinthians 13, 11, Hebrews 2, 10. And when I say this, look all around it, okay? It's just a word search on the word perfect. Hebrews 9, 9 through Hebrews 10, 1. Hebrews is a pretty big one with all this. James 1, 4. 1 Peter 5, 10. And then 1 John 4, 18 is about perfect love. What you're going to find when you study these is God's idea of perfect is totally different than your perfectionism idea of perfect. And we've got to embrace his perfection so we can let go of ours. Our perfection is works-oriented. What can I do? What can I do? And how can I make other people see what I'm doing and agree with what I'm doing? God's is, how can you die? How can you die? How can you give up your rights? How can you suffer and die to wanting your own way and live for me and be perfected? So think about it. Perfectionism in the counterfeit is what can I do? 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 What can I do better? 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 What can I do best? 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 God's idea of perfectionism is, how can I quit living for myself? How can I quit protecting myself? How can I quit defending myself? How can I quit trying to do what only God can do? How can I just let go and let God be in charge? God's idea of perfection, when you study this, is letting him establish you, letting him get the junk out of you, letting him work all these things out so that he can make you perfect. And our concept of perfect is, how do we hang on to who we want to be and what we want people to see and what we can do? One's going to wear you out, folks. And it's going to make you feel superior or always inferior. And it's going to make you try to control others. The other's going to cause you to only look at Jesus, only see Jesus, only want God working in your life, and then learn to obey him. And so God really wants to begin to work this in us this week. And next week, we're going to kind of tie this in maybe with the rescuer a little bit. The key is, and I know, especially if you're new to this kind of ministry, because we've had, a lot of us have been here for years, we've slowly been peeling the mask off. And boy, you come in at this point, and I just rip it right off, and it scares you. Give me back my mask. What is this woman doing? But we really don't have time to walk everybody through step by step. Get as many tapes as you can if you need to. We're at a point now where God is looking for who will allow him to do something real quickly so we can glorify God. And nobody judges you here. You can be the most messed up person in the place. And you'd really have a lot of people to jump over to get to that title. But you don't even want to really be in the top 10. But if you are, it's okay. Everybody will know it's not you. Everybody will know you're wonderfully made because God says so. Everybody will know that God's inside of you and he's doing a work in you because that's what we've learned to do. We've learned to see our own junk, which has humbled us, so that we can help you get the splinters out. And it is painful sometimes, but I'm going to tell you what's more painful. Staying delusional and deceived and self-deceived and losing your kids to the enemy, losing your marriages, losing your jobs, losing every relationship because you won't just stop and let God do the work in your life that needs to be done, especially when he's drawing you to that work, when he's making it available to you, and when he's giving you such a fun place to do it. Because he's so much an awesome God. Okay, here's the good news. Once we let go of all the stuff that Satan's done in us, you're going to really like who you are because God made you. He gave you awesome gifts, wonderful talents, just the exact right looks. When it all blends together, it's going to make this body of Christ called the bride that is going to absolutely win over the world. And whatever he's called you to be, it's exactly what you need to be in that. And you're going to enjoy it. And then everything's going to just come. It's just going to come. Father, help us to get this. You really want everybody to get this. You say that you're perfecting us by what we suffer. So Lord, thank you that you've got a lot of people in here desiring to be perfectionists. Really desiring to be completely, completely, completely submitted to you. It's only by your spirit. And I'm just seeing kind of this inner vision right now that might help some of you. And you've got on this old man of perfectionism. And you're just working to be seen and trying to be seen and hoping people hear and hoping people notice, getting angry if they don't get it, trying to make everything work, trying to make this work, not understanding why you're misunderstood. You've got all this going on. And I see the Lord, he's just walking up and he's zipping that thing off. And it looks like you, but it's not who you really are. And I see the Lord, he wants you to take that off and lay it down, that old man. And walk right into Jesus. Wow, this fits perfect. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things have become new. I feel like the weight of the world has been lifted off my shoulders. And all I have to do is enjoy you, God, and obey you. And trust you and watch you fix all the stuff that old man messed up. Thank you. Thank you. Because I was making such a mess of it. Now, God, thank you for taking care of my children, healing them, and getting their hearts right with you. Thank you for taking care of my spouse. Healing them, getting their heart right with you. Thank you for taking care of me, healing me, getting my heart right with you. Thank you for taking care of my parents, my siblings, the people I work with, my friends, the people at church. Oh God, you have a lot to do. Oh God, that I thought in that old man suit, I had to do that. No wonder I couldn't handle it. I was never created to take your place. Thank you, God. Now, Lord, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how much the enemy wants me to put that suit back on,